In recent decades, Australia has become highly dependent on privatised toll roads, with many problems and hidden costs impacting taxpayers. The cities of Brisbane, Sydney and Melbourne together have 22 private toll roads, with major transportation company Transurban running 18 of them. So how should the current road funding system in the country be reformed? The Wise Tony Pankaluik spoke to Professor David Henshaw, founding director of the Institute of Transport and Logistics Studies at the University of Sydney, to find out.
They're broadly known as public-private partnerships, and they historically it was recognised that the government could no longer afford or chose not to afford to fund major infrastructure, but yet they saw a role that the private sector could play, and PPPs are used in many areas, of which toll roads are a classic example. And what it means is that some non-government agency will actually put together a consortium, people that would manage, or design, operate, etc., all the constituent parts of running, in this case, toll roads, and they would put in a bid, and part of that bid would require them to clearly identify equity funds that could be used to support that initiative. And on the basis of the competitive process, government would select the bidder they prefer, and then they would give them a long-term concession. Typically, they've been rather generous in order to argue that people wouldn't be putting in their money if it was a short-term effort. So they're giving them 20 to 30-year concessions. And the major issue here is that the government is offloading much of the risk associated with developing new infrastructure on the assumption that they couldn't afford it themselves, even though they could raise money at a lower cost. But they wanted to get that off their government balance sheet because it looked better for them.
In your article that you co-authored, we'll dive more deep into this, like the challenges in relying on the current model. You outline in great detail several of the issues. Could you talk a little bit about each of them, what they entail for listeners?
I think the most important one is the patronage risk. In order for the private consortium here to raise money, they need to forecast the amount of traffic that's going to use the toll road, i.e. the amount of revenue they would generate. And in comparing that against the cost of building, operating the asset, that would be the basis of identifying an interest as to whether a bank or another financial institution would want to invest or would be the mechanism to get money from other sources to invest into this investment, because they want to get a return that's acceptable. So the return on investment is going to be very much conditioned on how successful you are in generating traffic or business onto your network. Problem is, historically, and I've been involved in many of these projects on the consortia side, is that the companies like Transurban or Transfield or all the other groups that are involved in these things have been pushing high patronage forecasts to make the deal look better than historically it's turned out to be. That's the most important issue that is known as optimism bias. And I should tell you also, and I think we hinted at that in the conversation piece, is that over the years, equity partners have got wise to the fact that every single bid historically as patronage forecast way above what's actually happened. In fact, I can tell you it took 10 years for the M2 in Sydney to reproduce the original baseline traffic forecast on the road. Now, lessons have been learned through time, and there's been two responses to this. First of all, the banks heavily discount the patronage forecast. One bank's told me off the record just 60% of the number, and then that's the basis of seeing if this thing's got any legs to invest in. Alternatively, there's another model which is known as the availability payments model, which we actually don't mention in the paper, but it's a model whereby government says, right, we won't go into the equity markets at this stage. We're basically run the thing. And when we know what the patronage forecasts are going to be in terms of settling down to a almost riskless or an acceptable level of risk, then we'll visit the equity partners. What that means is the government needs to carry the debt initially. It's not something the government's been keen on, but it is a model, and it's a model that's been implemented in one toll road in Australia. Most of them are straight out to the equity markets and say, you guys, through the consortium, how much interest do you have in putting money into this? And then that will be used as a basis of identifying how much they should charge government in return for them offering the service. Remembering also that these roads still owned in the long term by government. They're not owned by the consortium. So that's why they're franchises, long-term franchises. They're not privatization, even though some people think they are.
So David, I want to talk more about some solutions and just going to the future. What would you like to see? Or is there any famous international examples we could draw upon just as time goes on?
It's a good question. I have to say, generally speaking, Australia has been a world leader in the PPP space, and we've done a pretty good job. And I should say from the outset that I encourage the involvement of the private sector, because I don't think we would have had the infrastructure that we have in the cities today that we would have had if there was no engagement of the private sector. Now, some environmentalists might say we shouldn't have done it anyway because we don't believe in roads. But the point is, congestion builds up. And herein lies the dilemma. There's no concern I have about constructing roads. It comes down to what the price should be to use them. And one of the things I'd like to see, and indeed when I worked advising on the toll review in New South Wales, is that we would very much like a review of the pricing of all roads with the possibility of changing the pricing model for the toll roads. In other words, let's not worry about who runs them. Let's think about what's an efficient charge that relates to the benefits people get from using the roads. And when there's congestion, they should be paying more because they're getting a benefit, not paying for it. And as an aside, this is the model that we're now discussing with the federal government, because road user charges have become a hot issue. So back to the tolls, what I would like to see eventually is that we do away with the major error we made in the beginning of fixing the tolls, and this was politicians, fixing them at a particular number so that the bidders knew exactly what the income would be for every car or every truck that used the toll road. That's caused huge problems because those prices are totally out of whack with what should be an adjusted price as the traffic level changes, because the objective of a toll road is to save time compared with the free route. And so the price that you pay should reflect the value of the travel time savings. And that's so out of whack, it's not funny now, because we have this fixed toll price that's been indexed in New South Wales at 4% per annum, guaranteed. But if inflation is higher, then the toll company gets the higher number. But inflation is less, they get 4%. It's a damn good deal to invest. But having said that, just to finish off, I would like to think one day the government should get control back on the pricing of the toll roads and should price the toll roads and the free roads in such a way that the price of using the toll road should be consistent with the travel time savings compared with the free route. If all roads are congested or a little bit thereof, they should contribute so much per kilometre, which at the moment they don't do that. So the criticism from the toll review in New South Wales is that we've looked at the toll roads and their pricing in total isolation from how we should get an efficient pricing model for the entire network. So we need a new network pricing model. And if that means that the prices that are being charged on the existing toll network change in such a way that the revenue flows are less, then there may be a case for government to compensate the toll road operators until the concession expires. That would be a much better solution in terms of the initial objective, which is to service the community with better roads.
That was Professor David Henshaw from the University of Sydney there, speaking to The Wire's Tony Pankaluik.